The unknowable depths of ancient jungles once covered much of what we now know as South America, and they may have harbored things only remembered in our primordial nightmares. An enormous reptilian creature was, for centuries, an important figure of worship for the Aztecs, Mayans, and many other cultures which made their home in Mesoamerica. Where did this myth originate? Why did its legend endure for so long? And what about it captivates us such that we continue to represent it in modern pop culture? Join us tonight as we discuss the Aztec dragon, the great feathered serpent, Quetzalcoatl. That's today on Hey Strangeness.
Has daily life got you in a rut? Are you tired of the same old, day in and day out? Do you need a new perspective? Perhaps a change? Then try Changelings. Changelings are unknowable fey entities with powers and motivations far beyond the grasp of mortal humans. They will whisk you away to the fey realm and leave a potentially evil doppelganger in your place, with you never to be seen or heard from again. What awaits you in the fey realm? We don't know! Try Changelings today and get a new lease on life. Changelings!
Thank you for tuning... Hello, thank you for tuning into Hey Strangeness. My name is Aaron.
I'm Sarah.
And we are back for episode 11 on January the 2nd of 2022. It's January the 3rd by the time anybody hears this, but that's not the point. We survived the holidays.
We did.
Yes. I do want to say, I do want to say for the record, we are not changelings. We are human people.
I would definitely be a changeling. Or try changelings. What is it?
Try change. You would try changelings?
Yes, I would.
I think I would too. Like if I could press a button and all of a sudden I'm in a different place. And would you go with me though? I want to go together.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Together.
Be romantic. Romantic changeling escape. That's another good commercial idea.
Ooh, a getaway.
A romantic.
Destination getaway.
Changeling getaway. You and your partner will never be seen again. Anyway. I'm excited about today's topic. I think this is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's super cool.
I think it's going to be neat. We're branching away from...
Texas
a little bit. Yeah. Moving more out into... I think monsters is what we decided. We're going to do monsters for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're starting with... Do you want to... Oh, go ahead.
Quetzalcoatl!
The feathered serpent. Before we started talking about notes for this episode, Sarah, what do you or did you know about Quetzalcoatl?
What do you mean? Like, I knew it was a feathered snake, but I didn't know all the history behind it, I guess.
Okay, yeah. And I also just knew it was a feathered snake and thought it was nifty looking, and I don't really remember when we decided to do an episode on this.
I don't either. You were very excited one day started talking to me about it, and here we are.
Well, thank you for...
not even a week ago?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago?
We had already recorded our Yule Cat episode when I came up with it.
Gotcha. But
thank you for entertaining me. So the feathered serpent was an object of worship for many Mesoamerican cultures. Early depictions showed a zoomorphic or featherless snake. Zoomorphic, I guess, means like what it actually looks like in zoology. He was known as, I'm going to mess up a lot of pronunciations during this episode. I'm going to do my best, but it's not going to be correct. He was known as Kukulkan to the Maya, Gucumatz to the Quiche of Guatemala, and Ecatl to the Gulf Coast Huastecs. Kind of interesting. A lot of different names. Did I do okay there?
Yeah, that was good.
How would you pronounce this?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Quetzalcoatl is one of the gods of ancient Mesoamerican culture, and different societies worshipped Quetzalcoatl in different ways and for different reasons. Some of the origin stories for this being involve a virgin birth.
Like Jesus,
yeah. That's kind of cool. There are actually a lot of biblical parallels with Quetzalcoatl mythology that we'll get to as we go. It's impossible for me to not make biblical comparisons. There's another origin story where he is one of four sons of two gods, and he's in this version, he's the god of light, justice, mercy, and wind. Kind of cool. Considered the god of Venus or the Morning Star.
Morning Star is a vampire.
It is?
Don't they refer to Dracula as Morningstar?
I think that's Satan.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, interesting.
Wait,
so
that out.
No, this is good, though. Virgin birth like Jesus, Morningstar like the devil.
Wow.
You noticed another parallel earlier when we were talking about this with the devil. What was it? Snakes and...
It's also like Garden of Eden style, with the talking snake that wanted Adam and Eve to eat the apple.
More Bible stuff. That's interesting. That's interesting. Some societies, he was the patron of priests for the religious order of the day. So he's, you know, associated with some of the more important members of society. Other versions, he's the creator of the cosmos. So a creator god, symbolizing birth and beginnings and new things. That's kind of neat. Depending upon what culture is worshiping him at one point in history, it depends where you're doing your research, he's described as both abhorring, hating human sacrifice, and in others, requiring human sacrifice. And we're talking about a span of about 1,200 years where Quetzalcoatl was actively worshipped. So, you know, different societies, different peoples interpreted this entity in different ways. But what struck me is that, like, that's kind of a parallel to King Kong, giant monster in the jungle. Human sacrifice.
Human sacrifice.
Right? Maybe I'm reaching a little far here, but King Kong, Quetzalcoatl, some parallels. And also kind of another biblical parallel where you have a nice, friendly Jesus making loaves and fishes, healing lepers. Name some nice stuff Jesus did.
I didn't read the Bible like you did. I can't.
You know stories about Jesus. Just name one where he did something nice.
Jim Caviezel.
No, that's the movie. That's the movie that gave many people nightmares. But no, what I'm saying is you have kind of different personalities for this entity. You have a friendly version. You're so funny.
Okay.
You have a friendly version that invents the cosmos and is the patron of priests. And then you have a version that demands human sacrifice and is a giant angry snake. So kind of interesting,
mm-hmm.
Like you have friendly Jesus, and then you have Jesus flipping over tables and whipping money changers.
What's a money changer?
There's a story in the Bible where Jesus showed up in Jerusalem, and he went to the temple, like the main temple in Jerusalem, and there were quote-unquote money changers there. I think they would like take foreign currency and convert it to local currency for a fee. I think that's what it was. But there were like people selling things, and basically they had turned the church into like a flea market. And Jesus got really pissed off, and he flipped over tables. And in one of the Gospels, I believe he actually whips people with a whip. He was not happy. I like that story. So let's talk physical description. When I say Quetzalcoatl, what image pops into your mind?
Feathered snake.
Okay.
Literally.
Like with wings or...
No, like... I don't know. Feathers and a snake.
So early depictions show a large, otherwise anatomically accurate snake. Other than being huge, the feathers.
Yeah, I would
present.
Think like anaconda size.
Yes. We're going to talk about anacondas here pretty soon. It's going to be fun. The earliest depiction with feathers comes from perhaps around 900 BC. Encyclopedia Britannica states that it was 300 to 800 BC. But either way... You know, we're talking about a really long period of worship and observation, and the feathers were part of it for most of that.
Mm-hmm.
There are varying forms associated with different myths, depending, again, what period in history we're studying. Some traditional depictions actually show a humanoid warrior with a shield and sword, while other literal depictions tend to illustrate a large snake with a huge mouth and a mane of feathers. I actually have a picture of the human version here.
He looks cool.
Right?
I like that.
He's wearing, like... You know, Aztec livery, and he's got a sword and a really cool shield. There's a lot of feathers. Some artist interpretations show him as being as big as a mountain or
Ooh.
Several mountains, sometimes flying through the sky, sometimes a little smaller, more like the basilisk from Harry Potter. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
a huge snake, but not bigger than a building. But I love the look of this thing. I just think it's really cool. So here's some fun little Quetzalcoatl side information. We talked a little bit about the origins and the history. Honestly, we could have spent 3 episodes talking about Quetzalcoatl mythology. Like, there's a lot. again, 1,200 years of worship, multiple societies and cultures spread over a wide geographical area. There's a lot. And I kind of made an executive decision to just sort of skim the surface, you know, because I know I'm not capable of doing the history of this creature justice. So that's why I'm not going to dig into too deep to Quetzalcoatl lore, but it's kind of where I landed. So here's a fun one. The Aztecs allegedly believed that the arrival of Cortez was the return of the feathered serpent, like a reincarnation. But this was very, very likely a rumor spread by the Spanish conquerors to exaggerate the gullibility of the native population. The only known historical documents that mention this are of Spanish origin, and they are predated by the conquest, meaning that the Spanish conquest of the Aztecs happened, and then this rumor started floating around that, oh, they believed Cortez was Quetzalcoatl. So most likely this was just something to make the Aztecs look bad, but it does kind of showcase how important this figure was to them, that the Spanish conquerors tried to use it. Conquistadors, is that what they're called?
I think so, yeah.
Conquistador?
Conquistador.
The Spanish conquistadors tried to use it as a part of their propaganda campaign.
I just think it's cool.
Here's what I think. Or no, this is not what I think. This is what some people think. What if I told you, Sarah, are you ready?
Okay.
What if I told you that Jesus was a giant snake?
I mean, wasn't he?
No. Not in the Bible. Some of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that's the Mormon folk, believe that Quetzalcoatl was actually Jesus. The Quetzalcoatl described in Aztec mythology is the Jesus of the Book of Mormon that left Jerusalem and came to North America.
Neat.
Interesting, right? That's a fun tidbit. And it kind of correlates to the virgin birth origin story from a mythological perspective. You know, not only do these two figures have some parallels in their origin stories, some people have connected the dots and gone, oh, well, Jesus was the giant snake. Now, whether Jesus appeared as a literal giant snake to the Aztec people or whether this is some kind of allegory, I don't know. Apparently, this is a really fringy belief. It's considered like a folktale within the Mormon church. Like, you know, the folks in Utah aren't going to be like, oh, yeah, giant snake Jesus. Like, I guess it's just kind of a weird thing that some people believe.
Okay. I mean, okay.
But that's cool. That's pretty neat. Quetzalcoatl has appeared in a number of other locations. Quetzalcoatl has shown up a lot in pop culture, modern mythology. Sarah, you had a list of places that he's shown up, different series and such.
Yeah, he has appeared in the Legendary MonsterVerse films as a cameo, Star Trek the Animated Series, Yu-Gi-Oh!, Final Fantasy, the Animal Planet mockumentary series, The Lost Tapes, and I think, oh, my favorite, Rayquaza from Pokemon is yes, based on him.
Rayquaza, the giant green serpent
he's
dragon.
He's so cool that flies.
He's so cool. Yeah.
He's so cool.
Rayquaza, Kyogre, and Groudon were probably the coolest things to come out of that series of games. Ruby. What were they? Ruby.
I don't. Yeah. Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah, and then Emerald. Yeah. We like Pokemon. He also, since you're talking about movies and stuff, he reminds me of Manda from the Godzilla universe.
I don't think I remember that one.
Manda. I actually have the DVD boxes here so I can show you. Do you know where they are? Oh, there they are. There they are. Now, Manda is inspired by more of a traditional Chinese dragon type of design, you know, with the whiskers. Ow! Okay. All right. So here's Manda. You can see him on the left side of the box there on the bottom corner. Long serpentine creature, yeah.
Ooh.
Here is the box for Atragon, Manda's first cinematic appearance, where he fights a giant submarine. And he's the kind of like guardian of the undersea kingdom of Mu. And then Manda makes an appearance in Godzilla Final Wars. He's not on the case. So I don't know why I brought that one over here. And while we're talking about Godzilla movies, he also reminds me a lot of King Ghidorah. With the long neck and the horns, and the older depictions of King Ghidorah actually show him as having like a feathery, furry mane around his head. See?
Cool.
King Ghidorah, of course, is the giant awesome. Three-headed winged dragon. Yeah. Which made a reappearance in Godzilla King of the Monsters very recently. So I like the way this thing kind of shows up in movies. And then also the movie Dragon Wars. Those weren't really feathered serpents. They're just giant cobras. I have a copy of Dragon Wars here in shrink wrap.
Me?
I don't know why. Also, the monster Garrosharp from the unmade Showa-era Gamera movie Gamera vs. Garrosharp. Look that one up if a person is interested in dragons and Gamera. Anyway, okay. So these are just a few of the examples that we found online and also that kind of popped into our heads just now while we were talking about this and doing research. Quetzalcoatl is all over pop culture. Or looking at it differently, modern mythology. I've played with the idea that what if a lot of mythological creatures we see depicted in ancient art, what if they weren't actually like gods and stuff that they worship, but they were just their version of Pokemon?
Pokemon?
Like it was, you got your gold edition Quetzalcoatl trading card, which was etched onto some bark. I don't know. But anyway, while we were researching this episode, an interesting theory struck us. I'd call it an interesting theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is not documented or backed up anywhere necessarily, but it is something that we kind of thought of. What if Quetzalcoatl is not just a religious mythical figure? There's basis in history for Quetzalcoatl as a human figure. One of the emperors of the Aztecs actually took the name Quetzalcoatl as one of his titles. So that's created some confusion in the intervening years because people aren't sure if some of these stories are about Quetzalcoatl the king or Quetzalcoatl the flying snake.
Gotcha.
So that's a little confusing, but I had a different thought. Recent scientific studies have concluded that dinosaurs had feathers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
I think at this point, most of us have probably seen depictions of the T-Rex or the Velociraptor with feathers.
Yep.
Yeah, like Jurassic Park got it wrong. Here's what the dinosaurs
look
like.
Sam Neill knew.
Yes.
Wait, what's his name?
I think that's his name.
No. In Jurassic Park.
Dr. People are going to make fun of us if we can't remember this. This is bad. Dr. Grant knew. And Sadler. Sadler? What was Helen Hunt's name?
It wasn't Helen Hunt.
Oh God. Wow.
It was Laura Dern.
Laura Dern. Admiral Hodo. Oh, God. Speaking of Star Wars, the crate dragon from Star Wars looks a little bit like Quetzalcoatl.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Star Wars. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, science tells us now that dinosaurs had feathers. In fact, within the last month, there was an article that became pretty popular about a specimen they found that was, you know, a dinosaur baby in the egg still, and they could see the feathers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, it looked kind of like a chicken.
Yep.
So what if the great feathered serpent was actually a species of relic dinosaur that Mesoamerican peoples coexisted with, or...
So cool.
Right?
I think it's such a cool idea.
It's neat.
It's a cool idea.
It's neat. Like, maybe they coexisted with it. Maybe it was just in their oral history. There are tons and tons of dinosaur fossils that have been found all over North America, Mesoamerica. In fact, there is a species of pterosaur, which I have a picture of here show you. Yeah, called Quetzalcoatlus, which is not a feathered serpent. It's a really, really big pterosaur that, while walking on all four legs on land, was about the size of a giraffe. Very big.
I like the feathers.
Right? He does kind of have a feathered crest on his head there. So that's pretty cool. And guess where this specimen was originally discovered?
Texas!
So I know we said we were going to kind of stray away from Texas, but...
Texas.
It has monsters. It has dinosaurs.
Texas.
So I think this is a cool idea. We know dinosaurs had feathers. We know dinosaurs existed in Mesoamerica. We know Mesoamerican people worshipped Quetzalcoatl for a very, very long time. And a lot like the theory that perhaps the Loch Ness Monster is a relic dinosaur. Mm-hmm. Ogopogo, some of those guys. You know, I think this kind of slots into the same place. What do you think about the possibility of a snake this large from a zoological perspective? Because we know big snakes exist.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, we know anacondas are real.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you want to tell me that there's, an octopus, or what is it, a giant squid down in the ocean that's this big, you're going to tell me there's most likely not a snake that's also that big? I mean, just going from, biology and...
I have some notes here on snakes. The reticulated python regularly grows to over 20 feet in length.
Mm-hmm.
20 feet. And the green anaconda, which I believe is the biggest species of snake on Earth, is large enough to feed on deer, jaguars, capybaras, members of its own species. Females apparently will cannibalize males after mating. And even human beings. Though this is rare. But there have been recorded instances of green anacondas consuming human beings. Giant snakes are a thing, like you said. We mm-hmm. know they exist within not only the fossil record, but also within modern zoology.
Mm-hmm.
And dragon-like images pop up all throughout human history in damn near every culture. So this could be another example of a dragon-like image, mm-hmm. you know? Which, what do you think about that? Why does every culture have dragons?
Because they were real.
Ooh. Should we do dragons for the next one? This could be a lead-in.
Mm-hmm.
Be part one. Quetzalcoatl, part two, are dragons real?
Are dragons real? Dragons are real.
Dragons are real.
Dragons were real.
They were. Had to have been. So that's a whole other rabbit hole for us to go down. But here's my question. Here's my question. If Quetzalcoatl might in fact be an actual species not yet identified by the fossil record, does that make it a cryptid?
Ooh.
Like, is this a cryptozoology case?
Yes, I would say.
I think so.
I think so.
Like, if there's a possibility. And this isn't, like, backed up anywhere. This is just something we came up with putting together circumstantial evidence. But I really like this concept. I like the concept that Quetzalcoatl was at some point prowling around the Mesoamerican jungles. And people were like, whoa, get to pray to this guy. He's a big snake. I do want to say very explicitly, you know, Quetzalcoatl is an important part of the cultural heritage of these societies, and I don't mean to trivialize anyone's, you know, heritage or religious beliefs by saying, oh, it was a dinosaur, I figured it out. I don't think we've solved some grand cosmic mystery, and I...
No.
Yeah, there's obviously much more to the myth and legend of Quetzalcoatl.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a neat concept.
Yeah, I think it's a cool, like I said, theory. Cool idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the Egyptians worshipped cats, so might not have ancient Mesoamericans have worshipped dinosaurs or giant snakes.
I don't see why not.
I don't see why not either.
Yeah.
I would have.
I would have. If I was a, you know, tribal person living in the jungle and I saw this big snake with feathers that...
Looked magnificent.
Was magnificent and was capable of eating people. Because if Quetzalcoatl existed, or, you know, it was probably some species of python or anaconda,
mm-hmm.
you know, just much larger and a dinosaur, I'd worship it.
I would too.
I would fall upon my knees and sing praises to the great snake god. Such would be my fear. Well, cool. This was a fun topic.
Yeah,
I had fun with this.
I really like your theory.
Thank you. Thank you for entertaining it.
It's fun. It's fun to think of. I mean, I would have loved to have been alive during the dinosaur times, and now hear people, the idea that they possibly, like, actually took from true, you know, real life visual experiences. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I really like this. This is a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess that's all for our research topic today. I think we covered it. We have a couple of fun announcements. Do you want to poke at that a little bit? Let's see. Our giveaway is still going. By the time this episode airs, there will be 3 days left to enter. So look us up on Instagram. Definitely check that out. We have interviews coming up in January for Strange Conversations. That'll be live on Instagram with some fun people. What announcements do you have?
Thank you for tuning in to Hey Strangeness. I'm Sarah.
My name's Aaron. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.